chapter 35, verses 24-25. Mada vigurnita lochana ishan. Manada swasuhurdam vanamali. Vadara pandu vadano murdu gandam. Mandayan kanaga kundal lakshmya. Mother, by intoxication, vigurnita, rolling, lochana, his eyes, ishat, slightly, manada, showing honor, swasuhurdam, to his well-wishing friends, vanamali, wearing a garland of forest flowers, badara, like a badara fruit, pandu, whitish, vadana, his face, mrudu, soft, gandam, his cheeks, mandayan, ornamenting, kanaka, golden, kundala, of his earrings, lakshmiya, with the beauty. Yadupadir virada raja viharo yamini pati vaisa dinante mudita vatra ubayati durantam mochayan vraja gavandi natapam. Yadupati, please repeat. Yadupati, the Lord of the Yadu dynasty, virada raja, like a kingly elephant, viharaha, his sporting, Yamini Patihi, the Lord of the Night, Eva, like, Esha, he, Dina Ante, at the end of the day, Mudita, joyful, Vakra, his face, Upayati, is coming, Durantam, insurmountable, Mochayan, driving away, Braja, of Braja, Gavam, of the cows, or of those who are to be shown mercy, Dina, of the daytime, Tapam, the painful heat. Translation, please repeat. As Krishna respectfully greets his well-wishing friends, his eyes roll slightly, as if from intoxication. He wears a flower garland, and the beauty of his soft cheeks is accentuated by the brilliance of his golden earrings and the whiteness of his face, which has the color of a badara berry. With his cheerful face, resembling the moon, Lord of the Night, the Lord of the Yadus, moves with the grace of a regal elephant. Thus he returns in the evening, delivering the cows of Braja from the heat of the day. Purport, the word Gavam is constructed from the Sanskrit word go, which means cow or senses. Thus, Sri Krishna, by coming back to the village of Braja, relieved the inhabitants of Vrindavana from the distress the eyes and other senses felt during the day because of being separated from direct contact with him. I am reading text 26 because there is hardly anything there. So, Sri Sukha Uvacha, Evam Braja Sriyo Rajan Krishna Lilangri Yattahi Remi rehastu tachitta san manas manaska mahodayam. Translation. Sri Sukadeva Goswami said, O King, thus during the daytime the women of Vrindavana took pleasure in continuously singing about the pastimes of Krishna. And those ladies' minds and hearts absorbed in him were filled with great festivity. Translation and purport by Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. This verse definitely confirms that the so-called pain of the heartbroken gopis is actually great spiritual bliss. On the material platform, pain is pain, period. But on the spiritual platform, so-called pain is simply a different variety of spiritual ecstasy. In the Western countries, people take pleasure in mixing different flavors of ice cream to produce wonderful combinations of flavor. Similarly, on the spiritual platform, Sri Krishna and his devotees expertly mix the flavors of spiritual bliss, and thus every day was a treat for the gopis. Om Anjana Timranda Sinjana Anjana Shalakya Chakshurudmana Timena Tasmi Shri Guru Nama Namo Muskudaya Shishtaya Buddha Simdevaya Swami Minayana Mishiritaraya Daika Pabdani Gorkar Dhamdaya Nagragantaya Namo Muskudaya Shishtaya Buddha Simdevaya Swami Minayana Namaste Sarasuji Vidharani Kuchani Mishay Sunil Vrsisthi Dishtani Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Vedagrada Asusari Gaur Bhakta Vandari Hare Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare. So we are next. We are in the end of chapter 35. So tomorrow we'll begin with chapter 36. Now this chapter is about the gopis singing of Krishna. It is not only the gopis sing of Krishna, but also what Krishna doing? He is wandering the forest, oblivious to what's happening. But that's not true. Somebody might say, Krishna is so cruel. These gopis are seeing, where are you? You know, we want to see you. And Krishna is just oblivious to it. Looks like Krishna is a very cruel person. That is not to be so. Because these are mellows. And like I always said, these are very, very transcendental mellows, especially Madhurya. You know, even if you are qualified to listen, definitely I'm not qualified to speak about it. But then again, I'm not going to say everything, but we have to know at least the general principles. The details, of course, is very difficult, you know, very difficult to understand. It's almost, because we are not even bodily realized. Alright, let's not go into that. So, coming back here, so we understand that Krishna has got opulences to the max, like beauty to the max, intelligence to the max, whatever, the six opulences, to the maximum. We talk about viryasya and jnana and vairagyos yasya, which means renunciation too. Which means Krishna also is the most renunciant of all. He can have everything and he can renounce everything. This is something that we can't do. And so, no point talking about this kind of thing. Anyway, now in my early days, When in Malaysia we have this festival, like what Prabhu does in all the festivals, they just, you know, they do massive cooking and so we have this festivals, of course Hare Krishna, we have our books and posters and, you know, the exhibition paraphernalia, whatever. But there are also all other groups, you know, name it, they are there. All the groups that are in India and found, you can find them in Malaysia. So all of them left their stalls, but what is so unique was in every one of these stalls you will see the picture of this one. No, this is Bhagavad Gita. The Parthasarathi picture. Every one of them, they'll have their own reasons, they'll have their own explanations about it. But you can say Krishna and Arjuna. That picture was universal. People's houses, I've even been to Chinese houses and they keep this big poster there. In the houses, I've seen that. And they will ask me, what is the meaning of this? I saw this, you know, very beautiful, so I bought it and put there. The copper tooling and all that. So now, the point is, so I was always under the impression that Hare Krishna, that means, you know, Krishna is speaking to Arjuna, Bhaktosime Sakacheti, you're not only my devotee, you're also my friend. So I always thought that Krishna, Arjuna, they were the most fantastic relationship. With this impression, when I landed in India, when I went to Mayapur and, you know, Navadvip and Bhubaneswar and Puri and all that, looking for the chariot where Arjuna and Krishna will be, I was totally disappointed. There was no this chariot. But there was a chariot. There was Krishna Balaram there. And the charioteer was Akrura. And who were there? The gopis were there, stopping. And that was the first time I saw this. And I was shocked. I said, what is this? What are these ladies doing? You know, Krishna is going, some person is there. I didn't know about all this. What's happening? And Krishna, and then much later I found out that was the essence of our whole religion, the Gaudiya religion. That, you know, Radharani and the gopis are preventing Krishna and Balaram. They're going to Mathura, Akrura is taking them to finish up Kamsa, all the stories you know. But that was the most important thing. You know, that was a lasting impression. I just wanted to share that. That means the gopis' position is so important, much more important than Arjuna's position, as far as of understanding goes. Now, we also know that many Puranas, you'll be surprised, talk a lot about Krishna and Radha too. Many Puranas are there. For instance, in Padma Purana, Vishnu Purana, even Brahma Vivarta Purana gives graphic display. Only Brahma Vivarta Purana talks so graphically about Radha and his position, his creation, origin, everything is explained there. And it's not even considered a Sattvika Purana. But it's so much of details are there. Now, and as you know, if you read Nectar of Devotion, Skanda Purana has got so much of information. And Prabhupada is quoting all the time. In fact, I was shocked. Skanda Purana is all about Lord Muruga, you know, Malu Muruga. The biggest temple for Muruga is in Kartikeya, is in Malaysia. And, you get a crowd of about, say, 1.5 million people coming there for the festival. And that's why we do maximum business, books. Many devotees became devotees by buying books or looking at devotees during such festivals. Anyway, coming back to the story, so Skanda Purana has got so much information about, so it is said that though there are many Puranas written about Radha and Krishna or Krishna's pastimes, the Bhagavatam was specially written to introduce and describe the glories of the gopis. So that is mentioned. So this is a special position Srimad Bhagavatam gives for the gopis. Now, in fact, you know, from the Skanda Purana we understand that that the total number of gopis are 3 billion. No, that's unimaginable. 3 billion, not million. It's a billion, 3,000 million. And they say thousands of them are predominant. Of them, if it's 16,000 are most predominant, and of the 16,000, 100 is very most predominant, and then they talk about the 8, and of the 8, the topmost is Radha and Chandravali. This information is from Skanda Purana itself. Now, so, there are so many gopis, unimaginable gopis, you know, the number. So, Sri Rupa Goswami categorizes them this way. He says there are three different categories of gopis. The first category is known as the sadhana siddhas, which means these are the as we know, the personified Vedas. The Vedas personified they and the sages in the Dandakaranya forest, the Municharis, and they. And, I'm not sure about Sridhichari, but I'm, you know, Munichari is definitely mentioned. Sridhichari too? Yeah, this is Sridhichari. Okay, Munichari, Sridhichari. It's a special day for them, so, you know. Nice mentioning them. So they have, in the sense, in the Dandakaranya forest in Lord Rama's pastime, the sages wanted to have a conjugal relationship with the Lord, and the Lord said, yes, in my next pastime. So they have come as the sadhana siddhas. Now the next one is the Nitya Siddhas or the Nitya Priyas. So the Nitya Priyas and Nitya, they are eternally liberated gopis. They are all the time in the spiritual world. Aprakat Leela, the unmanifested Leela in the spiritual world, they are eternally with him and they come down to this material world, they have passed him. Then the third group is known as Devis. Devis generally means demigoddesses. But the difference is, these Devis, they are from the heavenly planets, but the difference is when Krishna himself expands into the heavenly planets, For instance, Trivikrama, he is Indra's cone. Trivikrama is Vamana, the one who took three steps. Trivikrama and Asuri Narayana, sometimes there are 12 Adityaham Vishnu, he says. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, there are 12 sons, Adityas and, of the Adityas and Vishnu. As Suri Narayana, when he takes such forms, the gopis also become the consort of the Lord in this pastime. But what happens, not everybody recognizes the superior position of them. There are some demigoddesses who understand that this is Krishna and this is Krishna's eternal consort, and they serve them that way. Now these people are given special mercy and they become gopis. Yes. So these are the three categories that Sri Rupa Goswami talks about. Now, then we come to the next point that he says is Krishna is considered as Nayaka. Nayaka means hero. And Radharani is considered Nayika, which means heroine. Now, so that love that Radharani has for Krishna is known as Nayika Bhava. Now the Radha's expansions, which are the Ashta Shakis, the eight Shakis, they have the competence. That means they are competent to be Nayikas. They can become heroines of Krishna. But they choose not to be. They desire to be assistants to the pastimes of Radha Krishna. That is known as Sakhi Bhava. Now, the third one is, they are the young ones, the Manjaris, which are about 100 in number. What they do is they assist the Sakhis. And the Sakhis assist in the union of Radha and Krishna. Now, those who, you can understand to a certain extent that, you know, we might think that, there is intimate pastimes and then, you know, the people are walking around, you know, the Sakhi is supposed to be walking around. But it is all in a very, very highest level. You know, if you want a material understanding, maybe, you know, like children at home, maybe the parents get a bit intimate. The baby might be there, the child may be there, but they know that the child doesn't understand what we are trying to do, you know. That kind of thing. That is the closest we can come to in a material understanding of what is happening. Now the point is that the two types of conjugal love is talked about in nectar devotion. What is known as Samboga and the other one is known as Vipralamba. Samboga means actually conjugal love with direct contact, which means actual union between you. That means people actually want to have direct contact with Krishna, that kind of love. And Samboga is conjugal love in the mood of separation. You're separated. So back in our philosophy, they said that Vipralamba, the mood of separation is greatest because we are constantly thinking of Krishna all the time. That's why Krishna, actually, when the gopis are singing of Krishna and wandering all over the forest looking for Krishna, that is the mood of separation. That is in the mood of Vipralamba. Now, Kubja, as you all know, the hunchback, the old lady, as Krishna entered Mathura, and then what happens is Krishna gives some sandalwood paste to this lady. See, I'm getting confused. This lady, Kubja, gives some sandalwood paste to Krishna to cool him because it's hot summer. So she says, "Oh, who is this beautiful boy?" And you know, she gives. Because of that, Krishna gives her a beautiful body, and she becomes so. And she becomes a society lady. And then what she wants to do next is she wants to have Krishna as the husband. She wants to have Samboga with him, and Krishna does go to the house. He goes, but not. Prabhupada very clearly explains, not in the mood of sense gratification, because to make her a pure devotee, he goes there. She wants him to spend a few days with him, but just he spends a few moments with her, and he allows her to actually embrace, and then she takes the feet of Krishna and puts on her chest, and she's fully satisfied, and then Krishna leaves the place. So there is Kubja, but it is considered as a spiritual selfishness. As far as our philosophy is concerned, this is considered as spiritual selfishness. Now, many people don't understand sometimes they find it very difficult to understand this, that hero and heroine thing. Generally, if somebody new walks in, say he's a neutral person, he just walks in, then he says, who is this? Then he says, oh, that's Krishna. So who is he? It's God. Oh, okay. So what is that woman next to him doing? That will be next question. Because he can, to a certain extent, accept Krishna as God, but then he can't understand why, you know, put a woman next to him and spoil everything. You know, though he is not a believer of anything, if he said God is, you know, anything, but okay, one person is God, old man, young man, then you have family, and then he's just, you know, he cringes. Now that's okay, because he's ignorant, he's alright. We are not really angry with him. We will explain to him that the internal potency is, you know, who can please Krishna other than Krishna himself. Supposing there's Queen Elizabeth, who can please? Apart from another royal family, you can't go and please Queen Elizabeth. You can't do that. What can you? You want to see her, she doesn't want to see your face. You know, instantly Prabhupada mentioned that she's got the most beautiful neck. That was when Prabhupada's time. Of course, now her neck has gone off a bit. If you see the coins, the old coins, you look at the neck. It's really, I know Prabhupada can. Everything he notices. He mentioned even that. Of course, he had a very funny thing to say about Queen Victoria. I'm going to reveal that. Now, the thing is, the point is, that Krishna only, you know, who can please God? Only God can please God. You can't please God unless He allows you to please Him. So God, as God is so many shaktis, parashya shakti vidaiva shruyate, iladini shakti uses and creates Radharani for His own pleasure. Now, back to this one. Now, we are not angry with them, but we are definitely angry with the jnanis, or what Prabhupada says, the mayavadis, because they don't believe in all this. They don't believe in these gopis. They don't believe in the spiritual world. They don't. They just with one swipe, all this is knocked off. They think the jnani's conclusion is, oh, we are having senses, we are getting into trouble. So he foolishly concludes that if I have senses and I am having problems, then God should not have no senses. So he makes God a lame, a dumb, a deaf, you know, just one blob. That's it. No relationship, nothing. But that's not true. Because they read the scriptures and they come to this conclusion. That's what we are angry about. Why? The scripture says so much about this graphic description of the spiritual world, the rasas, the leela, so many things they're going. How? Just one wife, they just knock it off. They think it's like a Hindi movie. The hero and the heroine. They meet in a crowded minibus, overflowing with people, with all that, and then the eyes meet. And the eyes meet, and the next minute they are running around a coconut tree. Oh, you are my life, you are my wife, I give you my knife. So they keep on saying, the best part is they go behind the coconut tree. I don't know how the hero is so fat, but he can hide behind the coconut tree. And the woman is equally fat, can hide behind the coconut tree. But when they come out, they have got new dresses now. How did they do it? With a wink of the eye, they change this dress in, of course. Now the point is, it is not like that. This is not heroine that way. It is not. And we tend to think like that. It is not your next door neighbor, sort of. So, the point is, they say, I am not talking, you are not listening. That's Jnani. I am not talking, you are not listening. You know, I am the undivided, the omnipotent, omnipresent. You know, they go on and on. The point is, the Jnani, he realizes the impersonal future. But it's true. The Lord has the impersonal future. So the Jnani realizes the impersonal future. That's true. The yogis, realize the Paramatma feature. So, the Lord has Paramatma feature, and they realize it. The karmis, they realize the order supply feature. Oh God, give me my daily idli, or give me my daily pizza, or daily bread, whatever you like, give me my daily dosa, So, okay, I see. So, they understand as an order supplier. That's the way they understand. But the devotee, he understands all this. Yes, he is impersonal. He is a Paramatma. He is also an order supplier. And beyond all that, he is personal, he is in the spiritual world, and he has an eternal relationship with us. We can actually have this loving relationship with him. And there are five major relationships that have been discussed. So the Mayavadi, he foolishly confused, foolishly concludes, and because of this confusion, not only he is confused, he makes it the goal of his life to confuse the others too. That's what we are angry. You know, if you just confuse, stay there. That's okay. Don't confuse the whole world. And 99% of the Indian population actually believe this. Though there's a lot of overlapping bhakti, but that's the truth. The bottom line is, if you are in the preaching and if you go and meet people, the bottom line is 99% of the Indian population. Indian population, I mean, all over the world. It's not, you know, this is because this confusion. Now, at this point, I just want to say about, I know you, some of you might have heard of the South Indian saints called Alvas. There are 12 in number. This, I've mentioned many times, they, Alvas means, in Tamil, Alvas, Arzal, which means, they are absorbed in the opulence of the Lord. They are Aidas, Parshanas, Bhushanas, which means they are the weapons, the decorations and the ornaments of the Lord, and Suris, which are eternal associates of the Lord, like Garuda, like whatever, like Sangha Chakra, Vaidyasimala, all of them have come to the, they've taken birth in the, in southern part of India, and they've sung this, what is known as the divine glorifications, or Divya Prabandha. Now, at this juncture, I just want to mention about one particular person whose name was Sri Andal. Andal means she who rules. She was such a perfect devotee of the Lord that they called her Andal. Her real name was Gotha. She would, because she ruled the Lord, she could rule the Lord. So they gave her this special name, Andal. Now, the story of Andal goes like that. She's actually Bhudevi. We know Narayan. He's got Bhudevi, Sridevi, Niladevi, the three Lakshmis there. The Bhudevi Amsa expansion, his fixed birth, she's found actually in Madurai, that is Madura, the low southern Madura. There is a place called Sivilibathur, small place. In the garden, she's found under tulsi plant. Suddenly, the man, he's another Periyarvar. I don't know how many people know about all this, but Periyarvar, the 12 Alvars, he's known as Periyarvar, means Bada Alvar, the big one. Because his relationship with the Lord was Vatsalya, it's entirely different. He was treating the Lord like his child. And one day, maybe I'll tell you that story. Anyway, what happened was, when they found this girl, and then she grew up to be Andal, she was very, very, and what is this, the father's job was to do this garland, this is in the temple. And so she was doing the garlands too. But one day when the father passed by, and he was shocked at what Andal was doing, and she was crying, and the father was crying. And he came and said, how can you do this? Because Andal, after having tied the garland, with something unimaginable, she took the garland and she put it on herself. And she was looking at the mirror, do I look good? That was what Periyalvar thought, the father thought. And he came in, you know, he said, what a chastiser, heavily, what are you doing? You know, and he's so angry with her, I'm not going to take your flowers anymore. And the old man went and said, made his own garland, and went and put on the Lord. But the Lord rejected the garland. The Lord said, I want on Goda. That's the name, Goda. I want Goda's garland, not yours. And he was confused. He said, what? You know, what is this? And then he'll go and ask Goda what happened. You know? She said, no, I just made the garland. I'm just making sure that the level is right and it's comfortable. She was only thinking of the Lord's comfort when she made the garland. The garland should be perfect for him. So she was not in the mood of sense gratification. She didn't, I will enjoy the garland before I give it to the Lord. That was not a mood. Her mood was to make sure that, this one is good. And not only that, subsequently she becomes, she's writing poetic literature, which is very, very famous. Not only that, she desires to marry Lord Vishnu himself. And the father is saying, "My, I got a crazy daughter. Now she wants to marry the Lord." And then the priests in Srirangam, they come to all the way to Madura, and they said, "Lord has sent us," because he comes in a dream, Raghunath, Vishnu, he comes in to tell the chief priest, "Go to this place, bring the girl, I want to marry." And so they run, and they say, "What's happening? The Lord wants to bring a girl." So they brought the girl, and then I have to cut short, time is running out. So the girl walks up, 3.5 coils. Have you been to Srirangam? The 3.5 coils where Lord Raghunath is lying, it's a majestic Lord Vishnu, it's so beautiful. And she just walks up, 1, 2, 3, and then she disappears. She goes back home, back to Godhead. She's Bodhi, she's going back to where she comes from. Now, that's okay. Now, what is the relevance to today's story? Because her poetry, no, this is known as Tirupavai and Tirunachi, Nachiyar Tirumoli. So, what happens is, these songs that she's written, they're very, very, literally classics. If you go to South India in a month, I'm sure Prabhu will know, Ram Kumar, and those of you, South India, if you go in the month of Margali or Margasirsa, as we call it, that is December and January, all over South India, this songs will be bland. Margali Tingal Marindiran, it goes on, and even if you don't like it, you have to hear it. All over the place. Now, what is she singing? But when I was a small boy, my mom used to take me to the temple. It was a Murugan temple. And every morning we used to get up at 4 o'clock and, run there, 5 o'clock, and we used to sing this. But I didn't know what we were singing. I was just singing for 1 hour, sang all this and came back for 1 month. Now, the point is, she, Andal, has written this thing. She was in the mood of a gopi. That is the relationship. Why I'm telling you the story is, she was in the mode of gopi, and she calls this gopi, this imagined gopi, as Pinai. And even today, the scholars are arguing, which gopi is this Pinai? Some say it's Radha. But most of the scholars think that this gopi is Neela Devi, who is actually the kissing cousin of Krishna, as we call it. In the sense, Yashoda's brother had a daughter, and that daughter was Neela Devi. So this Neela Devi had special privilege in the household. She was like, Yashoda's brother's daughter. She can walk in and walk out. Everybody is, she will say, "I want to sleep with Krishna," and she'll just go and sleep with Krishna. She had a special privilege, So that is, so most of the scholars agree that she's, now the point is, why I'm saying is, how can a girl coming from an obscure village, hardly, of course she had this education, and in this poem she's talking about Mahabharata, she's talking about Ramayana, she's talking about Srimad Bhagavatam, and I've been reading Bhagavatam for 20, 30 years, I've hardly scratched the surface of it. How could a small girl come into raptures and bring out such in, which even today the whole of Tamil Nadu is listening and hearing? How could it be possible? Now, if you go back now, if you go to the same place or any place in Tamil Nadu and catch a small girl and shake her, she will sing Jingvichikan, Jingvichikan. Some Tamil cinema movies, some. That's all she will sing. Nothing else will come out of the head. So, the reason I'm saying all this is, why, how could it be possible? It's all happening. Divya Prabandham is available, all the hour stories available. The Lord has so many, all this relation, and then you can just cut it off. And we are all, some of us. Now, when dealing with such mellows, we are warned by Mahaprabhu himself. He says, Rasabhasa, and he says, Siddhanta Virodha. Rasabhasa is improper relationship or overlapping of mellows, and with Siddhanta Virodha is, that means improper conclusions, Vedic or the spiritual conclusions. Siddhanta is the conclusion, spiritual conclusion, proper spiritual conclusion, and Virodha means to be against such proper conclusions. So, it is, and this is why, and these such things are not seen in the Goswami writings. So, when Prabhupada says you don't read other books, people say, "Oh, what is this?" You can't be judgmental. But the thing is, you will not, what is most important is the end result. At the end result, by reading, you become a demon. And if the end result you become a devotee, now what do you want? So he was warning us, and that's why even Mahaprabhu chose the Goswamis, you write that, because such impurities are not there. But in spite of all this, then we have the Aulas and Baulas and Gauranganagaris and Sahajyas. There is a lot of discussion about them even during Prabhupada's time and Bhaktisiddhanta's time. The two big groups and nowadays clashing each other. Can you imagine? There is Sakibekis, especially, have you heard of Sakibekis? Sakibekis are men who are dressed as women. Now the whole idea is, I am a Sakhi now. Which means, now Krishna will love me. So Prabhupada says, this rascal, he thinks Krishna is a fool. That's the word he uses. He can cheat Krishna. And the worst part is, if you see the Sakhi, Veki, not the Sakhi, sorry, I'm sorry, Sakhi Vekis. Okay, they wear the women's dress, they carry a handbag and all, which is fine. They have a thick mush. I mean, I look at them, I feel, like, how do you expect Krishna to love such things? I mean, they can get away with all this. The stupidity of the people, they can just get away with all. And these fellas, not only, there's an end there. Because they're women, they want to pretend to be women now. What happens? They even have their monthly. Every month, 4 days, they'll sit in the corner, because I've got my monthly. I'm off the altar for 4 days. They'll pretend to do that also. So which is unbelievable, but it's true. They do that. Now, many of you know, there is a leader of this mission, which I call Chicken Mission or Murgi Mission. I wouldn't say his name, but first half of his name is Rama, the second half of his name is Krishna. So I didn't say his name. So this person, he has this, he has this strange ideas of realization. So he wanted this Muslim realization. So what did he do? Which you all know, he ate komamsa, which means cow flesh. So I eat cow flesh to understand, And so that is okay, that you all know. But he also did that. Now I want women realization. So what he did? He also did the same thing. He had his monthlies, which many of you don't know. Now I'm into woman realization. So for a couple of months, but I used to wonder, why did you stop? You had Muslim realization, you had woman realization. Why did you stop? Why did you go for hog realization, for instance? That'll be good. Hogs in India, if you go to the rural India, if you want to ease yourself, especially in the mornings, you have to go to the, there are special designated areas where you go. While you're at the job, the hog is already there waiting for it. Sometimes they'll come and push your butt. So you can see, old ladies will be carrying a pile of stones, there's some stones in front of them. And when the fella comes, they keep throwing the stones. Get away, don't disturb. But sometimes these old ladies, they forget to take the stones. Because sometimes the job can be in a hurried one, you have to run. And when they do that, the hogs don't allow them to finish the job. So you can see the old ladies running all over the place, trying to do their job. So that is the hog business. So he could have taken a hog realization. Then he could have, even tasted it. Actually this two in one, if you really analyze and see, he could have realized hogs. He could also realize fast food. Coming hot, piping hot out of the oven straight away for you. No, but this is true. That is true. It is not that. But then again, we might say, oh, these things don't happen to us. No, it happens to even devotees can get very sentimental. As, when I was leading a small place there, and many times some devotees will come and give me a lot of sentimental stories. So I'll always brush them off, and they're not happy. This is the worst thing. When a Mataji will come and say, oh, Prabhu, this morning, Radharani was dancing, and this, that, and the other. I say, you better go and chant. And if they're not at all happy with you, because they don't like to hear that. In Prabhupada's time, what devotee went and told him, Prabhupada, when I chant, tears come in my eyes. Don't worry, it'll go away. That's what he said. He didn't say, bring the buckets. If you bring the buckets, what will come out? You know, I don't want to say that, you know. What can come out of you to fill a bucket? It's obnoxious. But the point is that we get carried away, we can get carried away sentimentally too. It is stated that, you know, when the tears come out of our eyes, sometimes people say, tears come out of my eyes, standing on it. Yeah, that's all true, but it is coming for a sentimental reason. It is not pure devotion. You can go to, we could go to West Bengal and see even today, you know, the devotees are doing Haridam, suddenly, you know, the local guy will be rolling on the floor all over the place. And rolling on the floor is also a symptom of ecstasy. But this is nothing. And soon as the crowd goes away, and then, you know, nobody is watching, so he'll stand up and, oh, finish. He walks off. So, the point is, it is mentioned that that the tears of ecstasy that comes out, it is not salty, it's sweet. So, what you can do, the acid test is, when you get tears of joy coming, slowly put out your tongue and taste it. And if it is, you know, salty, then you know, oh, it's not that. So, you can wipe it off. Now, sometimes we are criticized. See, when we talk like this, we are criticized that, you know, why you talk about others, especially where I come from. You know, many times they'll come and tell me, no, why you want to talk about such things? But we have to discriminate. We have to understand. Srila Prabhupada, you know, that is, you can see, like probably, we have seen Prabhupada many times mentioning, talks about, say, Narada. He says, Narada was a conditioned soul. He was the, in his previous birth, of course not now, in his previous birth, and he was the son of a maid servant. And by the association of devotees, rose up to the exalted position that he is now. He is now considered space traveler. If Narada wants to go to Brahma, Loka, he just one step and he's there. He wants to see Vishnu, Narayana, and he's there. He could do anything. No, but the same person, though Prabhupada says that Narada is such an exalted devotee, but he also talks about his past birth. This is not to say that we are insulting, but this is discriminating. See what can happen to understand. For instance, Brahma, we always, when we talk, we said, oh, Brahma was bewildered and took away the cars and Krishna came and, you know, we talk about all that. And Brahma, when, you know, he wanted to meet Krishna and Krishna said, which Brahma, and, you know, like that. So, how Brahma is all the time like bewildered, we say that. But we also understand that Brahma, at the end of his life, is going back home to Godhead. Not only that, he's taking back all the residents in Brahmaloka. So, we also understand that. So, it is not criticizing or insulting, but it is understanding what it is. I am told, say like Madhua, if he reads Srimad Bhagavatam, and he comes to the pages of say Brahma Mohan Leela, that's where he took the cars away, as a respect to the Acharya, he just turned the pages away. But we smash Brahma, don't we? But the point is, Madhva was establishing Dvaitavada, and in Dvaita, it is not necessary for him. But in our philosophy, Achintya Beda Beda Tattva, because there is so much corruption has come, we have to understand. So in Achintya Beda Beda Tattva, simultaneously different and one, we have to discriminate. That is the whole thing. If we don't discriminate, we will never understand. For instance, we understand, if you have read the life of Madhva, because we belong to Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. That's our Sampradaya. That means our respect should be there for Brahma, our respect should be there for Madhva, and the whole lot of things. But we are not insulting any one of them, we are just explaining as it is to understand. It is for our own benefit. And the point is, if you have read Madhvacharya's life, Madhva, it is known as Madhva Vijaya. Of course, there are so many pastimes, it's unbelievable. You know, Madhva was the Mukhya Prana, or he was Vayu himself, the original Vayu. And he was, yes, you know, that he was expansion like Hanuman and Bhima and like that. So, the point is, what happens is, in his life, we understand one thing, that this one thing, when Madhva, he actually goes to Badrinath. at one time. He goes to Badrinath 3 times. The first visit to Badrinath was when he goes with his followers. He has already done his Gita Bhashya, commentary on Bhagavad Gita. So he's going there. Now this is very interesting because he goes to Badrinath, and from Badrinath, what happens is he tells his followers, don't come with me. I've got a lot of pastimes which we don't have time. So what happens is he goes to Badrinath and then tells his followers, don't come. And then he goes to Uttara Badrinath. Now this is unmanifested to us. In Uttara Badrinath, who is seated there? Vyasa himself is seated there. Vyasa is receiving him. Oh, come on. And straight away, without much ado, they are all rishis. We are reading about so many rishis. They are all seated there in Badrinath, in Uttara Badrinath. And then he gives him the honorable seat and then he says, yes, yes, I know why you have come. He said, okay, start your commentary. So he reads the commentary, his commentary on the Gita Bhashya. And he's reading, and Vyasa is so happy. Yeah, that's what I meant. And he said, no, change this like this. Here, you must make some additions. He kept on changing, making additions, comments. He went on like that, here and there, not all the while, till he finished the whole thing. And he was like, now yes, this is right. This is what the people should read. That is Vyasa himself giving his blessing on a commentary of the Bhagavad Gita. And to top it off, he didn't finish that. He said, okay, come with me. Now he told all of them, just stay out. All the rishis also not allowed. Vyasa and Madhva, both of them. He said, like a private audition. He said, come with me. And he took him further up. And whom did they meet there? Lord Naranarayana. He personally introduced Madhva to Lord Narayan. And Narayan said, yes, I am very, very pleased with your work. And Narayan said, and before that, Vyasa said, you have to do, because I wrote the Mahabharata, and the Mahabharata has been corrupted by all these people. So much of speculation, so much of distortion, so much of... See, Vyasa himself, this is in his life, Vyasa himself who wrote it is saying, so much of nonsense has come into it. So he says, write a Mahabharata. He calls it Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya. That's the word he used. Mahabharata Tatparya Nirnaya. And he said, you have to write that. And he said, okay, I will do that. And then he takes to Narayan. And Narayan says, the Srimad Bhagavatam is also corrupted. So he said, you have to write a Tatparya Nirnaya for Bhagavatam too. And Madhva makes the promise. And then he comes back. The second time he goes with some of literature. The third time is when he disappears and he goes back to Badrinath. Madhva is supposed to be staying in Badrinath. Now, struggle, Srila Prabhupada struggled so hard, called it, why? You know, the corruption is going on all the time. Why do we call it Bhagavad Gita as it is? Because there is so much of corruption. And so we have to understand that that there are so much of distortions, and we should take it upon ourselves to explain to others. We have to explain that these things, and it is not just Hari Bol Prabhu, how are you Prabhu, have you had your prasad, how is Mataji, is the backache okay? That's not good enough. We see the whole world is in so much of turmoil. Mahaprabhu has given a message, he has got a solution for the problem of the whole world. And we are just happy with what are we doing? We have to do more. This is not enough. We say Taliban, they are saying Taliban. And terror, so much of terror is going on. And you know, look at this philosophy. Come and sing, dance and have prasad. Why take the gun? Why put the bombs? If not now, when? And so many things are happening, and we have to get this message across as much as we can. In fact, we are the only one with the message, that's the truth. But people don't agree. And also we understand that like I was saying about the jnani who just says that Krishna has no senses, but we understand, our ultimate conclusion is, we understand that we are servant of Krishna. Jivere Swarupa Hoya, Krishna Nityadas. Now what happens, we are a servant, supposing you were a servant of a rich man, Barla Tata, or say Rockefeller. Barla Tata you might not know, Ambani, now in India is Ambani. Anyway, if you are a servant of Rockefeller, Prabhupada gives this example. What happens, whatever the person, when he goes for a party, $3,000 plate party or whatever, the driver also gets the same plate. Because there's so many things. Now we understand, we see so many things there on the plate for Krishna. So many beautiful things. So we also get, after some time we'll get all that. Isn't it? We are getting everything that Krishna is getting. So, being servant of Krishna, and we not only understand our real position, beyond that is really the actual position too. Thank you very much for patiently listening. If you have any comments.